from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend to the two of us, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it's fun to watch the roster machinations, if I can call it that. You know, we know that their long snapper was added. We know that they added a defensive tackle. They added an offensive lineman. They expanded the practice squad, and they cut a couple of guys that they thought would be on their practice squad. And clearly, they're doing this with an eye toward the season opener. And we know, according to reports, the defensive tackle will be up and active on game day. Obviously, they're going to need a long snapper. So they'll have to do some switching around with the roster just to get through the opener.
Yeah, I mean, with these elevations, you can do that up to three times during the season. So, for instance, with Scott Daly, the long snapper, You can just bump him up on game day and not have to clear a spot for him on the 53-man roster three times. You want to use Scott Daly in a fourth game, say, I don't know, week four, he's going to have to be on the 53-man roster at that point. So, yeah, I think they're pretty set up right now in terms of they know specifically what they'll do for that Titans game. And maybe how things will shake out for a few guys during the first couple weeks of the season. But then, you know, it's just sort of waiting to see what happens in terms of injuries and where there could be needs and what happens from there in terms of some of that roster flow at the back end of some of those position groups. Because if they need a spot for the snapper Daily in week four, I mean, unless somebody is hurt, like if they have perfect health between then and now, it's going to cost somebody the job because he's going to have to be on the 53-man roster.
Right.
What'd you think of Brett Rypien signing with the Vikings and being added immediately to their 53-man roster?
Well, I think that's why Rypien didn't come back on the Bears practice squad. I think Rypien probably had the sense that he was going to have a better opportunity elsewhere. And as a veteran, you know, being behind one guy with no career starts and another guy with four career starts probably wasn't super appealing to him, but that was a chance for him to get on a 53 instead of another team's practice squad. That's almost a no-brainer every time. I mean, there's some rare instances where you hear of a guy, you know, that sticks with a practice squad opportunity instead of a 53 shot, but not in this case.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because the league wanted to change the rules to allow you to bring up practice squad guys whenever, especially at the quarterback position, and that was voted down by the Players Association because of the difference in the amount of money that you make on the 53 versus, I mean, he'll make a lot of money this year because of the years in, years of service. He'll be over $1 million as opposed to whatever you know you make on a game by game basis on practice squad.
Yeah, and if you're on the practice squad and you get elevated for the game, you get a legit game check, you know.
Right.
But
But otherwise, you get a weekly, you know, whatever it is. It's between like 16 and 20K.
But it was when they brought Reed back to the practice squad. My first reaction was that must mean Rippon's going elsewhere. I'm not sure in what world you'd pick the undrafted rookie free agent over Brett Rippon, the guy that you signed, you know, relatively early in the off season, who had a little bit of experience anyway with the coaching staff like that. Good for Austin Reed, but I don't know that it's evidence that Austin Reed, outplayed the guy.
So Brad, obviously they're late round draft picks and nobody's going to quibble too much, but while we have the time to examine and dissect all of these moves, you get Daryl Taylor from the Seahawks, you get Chris Williams from the Browns. If they didn't fit on those teams, there's a likelihood or possibility both of those guys would have been cut. You could have claimed them without giving up a draft pick. Why do you think Ryan Poles was proactive in going out and targeting both of those guys rather than waiting and claiming them on waivers?
Well, Taylor's got sack production. Like he's got legit sack production over the last three seasons. And so Taylor's a guy who some other team could have grabbed potentially in a trade, or a guy that they would maybe lose out on in the waiver wire process. So you make the trade there because you're short on someone to rush the passer opposite Montez Sweat. I think I said it to you guys yesterday, you know, or earlier this week. You know, it used to be when you had two quarterbacks, you had none. In the current instance for the Bears, they've got six defensive ends. And what does that mean? Well, maybe they have one, right? And so they're attacking this situation with volume, with numbers there, and Taylor's going to be in the mix. And I'm intrigued to see what he can do, you know, moving from that outside linebacker position that he played with the Seahawks to defensive end, where things should be a little more simple for him. What does he look like? Because you ought to adjust right away when your job's to hunt the quarterback. Now, in terms of Williams, yeah, I tend to think that had the Browns waived him, maybe the Bears could have just scooped him up and added him to the fold. But he did have some production here in preseason. He had a pair of sacks. I believe there was a forced fumble. So he's active in the backfield a little bit. And I think a lot of times when you see a situation where a head coach or a coordinator is involved, where a player that they worked with previously is brought in, which that's the case here because Williams played two seasons in Indianapolis when Matt Eberflus was the head coach, you can imagine that the coach was probably lobbying for him. Like, hey, let's go get this guy. That's just a hunch, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was involved in this situation with Williams.
Brad, it's wild, but since I think it's 2008 when Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan came into the league and led teams to the Super Bowl, it seems like every quarterback that's picked, I believe there have been 48 first-round quarterbacks since then, has played immediately, the exceptions being Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love, and I think Jake Clocker kind of got a red shirt year. But other than that, the other 45 quarterbacks were playing, whether they started immediately, they started eventually. I'm just curious, when you look at the number, you know, obviously Caleb Williams was the starter when the Bears drafted him, and that has, you know, played out, and that is expected to be the case this year. You look around the league, other than J.J. McCarthy, who was, you know, injured, it seems like there will be no redshirt years, although Drake May will not start to open the season. Is that a classic kind of case of you start with another quarterback and then at the end of the year you roll the guy out and hopefully make it look like you've got progress going on? Is that one of those situations? Do you look at him not starting? Is it different with Penix versus Drake May?
Well, it's definitely dead. Yeah, because Penix doesn't look like he's going to get starting opportunities unless something happens to Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. That's the last thing they want to encounter. Maybe there's an opportunity to get Penix some action a little bit later in the season and blowouts or something. I don't know, but I look at the situations in Atlanta and New England as completely different. You know, Atlanta, they got to get going. They got to start winning with some of that young talent that they've amassed around the quarterback position on offense, and that's why they they were all over Cousins. Like, that was the worst kept secret in free agency, right? That they were going to go after Kirk Cousins and bring him in.
Is there a tampering allegation in what you're saying right
there? Yeah. Like, Florio's more dialed into that stuff than I am. But the New England situation, yeah, that's such a bad roster right now, I think. The Patriots, like, that's a real rough-looking team. It would be difficult for any quarterback in there. So I think you're hoping that your quarterback can develop a little bit. You're seeing what's going on around them, but man, that's going to be a tough situation, I think, for Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, anyone to succeed in this season. There's just not a lot around the position in New England.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
So what is the schedule now, Brad, with the weekend? When do they come back? Game week begins on Monday. It's Labor Day, a long weekend for a lot of people. But what are the Bears doing and how are they handling it?
Well, they get a long weekend. The players do anyway. The players are off today, Saturday and Sunday, and then back to work on Monday. They get a little bonus practice on Monday, probably, I would guess, kind of light work, just kind of getting back into the swing of things, probably, looking at some of the Titans stuff that they want to have involved. But that's, I'm almost positive that's mandatory with the CBA, that the players are given a 3-day weekend before week one.
When you look at where they're at, you know, I'm just curious. We were talking earlier about whether or not the roster looks like a playoff roster. And, you know, obviously there's complications within the division, but within the NFC, where do they fit? And do you have to, like, for instance, we mentioned Atlanta. Are the Bears ahead of Atlanta? Are they behind Atlanta? Or is Atlanta in a position to win a division and maybe it doesn't matter?
Yeah, that NFC South is, I think that's a two-team race. I think that's the Falcons and the Bucks. Carolina is going to be putrid again. The New Orleans Saints guys have been trending downward for a while now. They just seem to keep getting older. Like, at some point, you gotta shuffle some of those these older guys out the door and replace them with younger ones, right? And they haven't figured out how to hit the reset button there. And they were, I mean, shoot, they were, what, 9-8 last year, which is probably two or three games better than I would have thought they would have been going in a year ago. But I think that's probably a two-team race in the NFC South. And I, the Panthers, they're going to be terrible. You know, they're going to be really bad, guys. They get a shot at the number one pick here.
So, Brad, we've kind of agreed that this roster is a big upgrade, and a lot of us consider this to be a playoff caliber roster. Just wonder, a talent aside, players aside, do you think that this, you look at this coaching staff, what's your biggest question about this coaching staff heading into a season that a lot of people are excited about?
Well, I mean, if you could talk about the biggest question about the Bears coaching staff, I think a lot of the time it's, yeah, how long is the offensive coordinator going to be here? Like, did, you know, somebody have a chat with Shane Waldron when he came to town and suggest that he rent instead of buy on account of the fact that, you know, these guys roll through offensive coordinators every 2 years or faster, right? And so, and I'm not saying that that's going to happen with Shane Waldron. I'm just saying that's been the track record for about 25 years anyway. The biggest question for the coaching mark is, what will Shane Waldron do? And he's got some better, it would appear, better talent around him right now, though, to kind of settle into this position where the Bears aren't going to be swapping out play callers in the next year or two, right? Like, we gotta see what he can do to develop the young quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. I think it's going to be a lot of fun too, Brad. I think this season there's an excitement around town. Do you sense a vibe around the team? We hear that word thrown around a lot, but with all the additions, it feels different than it did before. Does that matter?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that matters inside the building. I think that matters to players. I think that gives you an indication of things like energy level out on the practice field, which probably, although we're not allowed in there and shouldn't be allowed in there, but that probably leads to stuff like energy level in the weight room, energy level in the meeting room, you know, where you've got attention to detail, guys dialed in, you know, not guys half knotted off, you know, wondering about what they're going to do when they get turned loose for the day. So I think when you've got that energy in the building and you can maintain it, that's something you're going to need to get through tough patches in the season. Like, they're going to have some tough patches during the season, right? When you've got that proper energy level, everybody kind of knows what they need to do to push through it. And if you don't have that, things can turn into a drag. And you guys have been there before. I've been there before, where you walk into a place that's no energy, that's just dead. And you can tell it's a challenge for people to come to work. It's later in the season, and that just makes it so much more difficult for the team to go out and compete on a Sunday when it's just, you can tell the thing is sort of off the tracks.
Special teams coordinator Richard Hightower spoke yesterday, Brad, and he said, in terms of Velus Jones, he had an outstanding camp. He spoke about a guy who was really never on the bubble, it seemed, according to the way they described him. That would lead me to believe that Velus Jones is going to be deep on kickoffs week one when the Titans come to town. Is there any doubt about that?
No, I think he's, I think he, well, he better be, right?
Right.
He's not going to be, he's, you know, what are they going to have? A handful of snaps maybe for him on offense? Like, he better be able to take some a front burner role on special teams, or what are you doing? So I would imagine he gets a shot there on kickoffs. You just want to see the decision making process solid. You know, you saw him probably trying to cover a little too much ground, and then communication with Tyler Scott in the preseason. In the one instance, because they're going to have two returners back there, and if it's kicked directly to the other guy, let him kick, let him field it, and you go take your turn blocking. But I would fully expect him to be involved in that role.
Great stuff, Biggsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad. Congrats on Mizzou taking care of
it. Yeah, your team did it. I mean,
whatever patsy they scheduled. Was that Murray State? 51-0.
So I had a guy that was at the game call me last night, and he said that North Dakota State, he said, that's the same roster as Colorado, with the exception, right, of Travis Hunter and the quarterback, Shedeur Sanders.
Well, those are two pretty big exceptions.
They are two pretty big exceptions, but his point was that the Buffs and what Deion's got going on isn't very good.
Well, it's all about the portal. And North Dakota State's a pretty good program.
That's a very good program, but like you've got an FCS team going, on the road, they should have won. They had a shot to win that game. What are they doing throwing the ball first and 10 there at the end?
If you question Deion Sanders, you're going to have to answer to Deion Sanders, Brad.
Right. Well, my question is, are you throwing there at the very end to pad your kid's stats? I mean, I don't. They wouldn't do that, would they?
He claimed that it's not about running; it's about first downs. And that if you throw the ball, you're more likely to hit a first down. It was
a weak explanation.
What he said.
Yeah, unconventional. But that is the Colorado football program.
That's him.
Great stuff, Brad.
See you, buddy.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.